beginning. For some people, that's really great news, especially if 2018 was one of the more difficult ones for you. I think that there's one thing that most people have in common at the new year, and that is that most people tend to make resolutions. Why do we do that anyway? I mean, it's like, why do we do that, make resolutions? But typically it's because we're either unhappy about something in our life or we want to make something better that we're not too happy about. The problem is that all too often our resolutions don't seem to last very long. They probably fail sometimes within 24 hours after we make them because change is not easy, especially if there are habits that we've had for decades, however long. They're hard to change, but we make them, we try anyway. But most of us always think about what the new year will bring to us. And as I said, for some, 2018 was difficult, and so we're hoping for a better 2019. We have our resolutions, we make our plans, we have our expectations, we have our ideas. And I often hear around this time of year, sometimes people will have some type of drink in their hand, and they'll make a salute to a happy and healthy and prosperous new year. But the truth is none of us can know for certain what the new year is going to bring. We do make our plans. I know I do. I'm sure some of you do. We make them, but sometimes those plans change. Sometimes they fail. Unexpected things occur. Ideas are formed, but they don't always come to fruition. We can have good health one day, but who knows what we might hear a few months down the road. We might have a job now, but maybe 6 months later, we don't, for whatever reason. We don't know for certain what the new year will bring in spite of the plans we may make, the ideas we think about, or even the expectations that we might have. But it is important that with God, His promises are constant. His assurances are sure, and they don't falter. They are things that you and I can absolutely count on. But it's important to remember something, that even though the love of God for each one of us is always unconditional, His promises are always based on conditions, always. They're based on conditions of obedience, that we are faithfully walking with God the best that we know how, that we are making choices to believe Him, to trust Him. Otherwise, we cannot experience and realize these phenomenal promises that God personally has for each and every one of us. This morning, I believe God wants to give each of us a personal and changing revelation of who He is. Promises for the new year. And it's not necessarily because what you hear me speak this morning may be something new to you, but what it does mean is that if you receive it, believe it, act on it, walk upon it, your life will dramatically change. Your relationship with God will deepen immensely, and things that go on around you can change as well. There are many things that God promises to us, but this morning, I just want to give you the five really big ones, I think, that God wants you to understand and to receive as we stand on the brink of 2019 of what you can absolutely and assuredly expect from God. These are what I call the five P's, but the first one is His presence. Now, you might think, well, I know that. I know God's with me. I know He always walks with me. The problem is that when we face any kind of crisis or discouragement or trials or challenges or we're overcome with fear, we tend to lose sight of that promise, that assurance that God is with us. David, who's hiding out in a cave because his enemies are pursuing him, they're tormenting him, looking to kill him, is hiding out in a cave, and so he begins to cry out. And we learn throughout this message that prayer is everything when we cry out to God. But in Deuteronomy 31:8, here's a beautiful promise, one that I've hung on to for many, many years, where Moses leadership is now transitioning to Joshua. They're about ready to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. And so God speaks to Moses, and Moses passes on these words of knowledge, these words of leadership, these words of encouragement to Joshua, because they're going to face many enemies in the promised land. And God knows we're human. He knows we're going to experience fear. He knows that we're going to be very concerned about these giants in the land. And so God speaks these words to Joshua and says, listen, don't be afraid and don't get discouraged. For the Lord will what? Personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor will he abandon you. So God specifically says that no matter what challenges we may face in the new year, no matter what enemies may come away or attack our soul, no matter what trials you and I come up against, whatever fears that we have to work through because of unexpected circumstances, it doesn't matter what it is, God is there before you. And his promise is that whatever it is that he has purpose for your life, he's going to make sure it does not fail. He's going to make sure that he does not abandon you. He won't abandon you. In fact, it says in the New Testament, Jesus says, I will never, no, never, no, never, three negatives, never forsake you. When I was living in Washington State, the very first church that I was ever called to be a lead pastor was on the east side of the state, just outside of Spokane, and I got a call from the district supervisor, Tom Ferguson, at the time, and he has passed away a number of years ago now, but he calls me and says, there's a church over here in a town outside of Wilbur, farming country, what I call redneck country, and I'm not prejudiced, but it was redneck country. And so he says, but I really believe God is going to use you to help this church, because it had gone through a lot of trauma. Well, no sooner did I get this call to ask to be, if I would consider taking this church, that all of a sudden, all these bad reports start coming in to me. Like, you're out of your mind if you go there. Don't you know that's a pastor killer church? Have you any idea what this church is going through? Have you any idea what they can do? And all these bad reports. Well, first of all, I don't think any negative report should ever be given about any church to begin with. However, this was my first church, and I was a little afraid when I started getting all these bad reports. Like, am I out of my mind? Should I be doing this? Does he really think that I can make a difference in this church? And I was sitting at my desk the next morning, and I specifically heard the Lord speak to my soul in my understanding. He said, if you will be like Caleb and ignore these negative reports, I will give you favor when you go, and you will see this church heal and grow. Next Sunday, I decided to show up at the church with them not having any idea that I was probably going to be their pastor. I just wanted to speak without them knowing anything of what might happen in the days ahead. And so I spoke to them that morning. And afterwards, I couldn't believe the flood of people that came forward and said, we would be honored if you would be our pastor. I didn't even have to tell them I was going to be. They asked because God personally went before me. And he made a way. And he gave me favor, even in redneck country, where I don't think they like women. In fact, they told me they didn't like women pastors very much. And I was shaking in my tennis shoes when I was considering it. But God gave me favor, and the church did begin to heal and began to grow. And it was amazing to watch God at work because he didn't fail me. He didn't abandon me. He went ahead of me. He made good on his promises, and he will for you. His presence personally goes ahead of you. Having courage, by the way, doesn't mean that you don't experience fear, because courage isn't courage if somehow fear isn't involved. Courage just means that in spite of your fear, you're going to make a decision to press through it and trust God in what he says, because that's when you experience the miraculous on your behalf that you would never experience otherwise. The second thing God promises you in the new year is his purpose. David cries out in Psalm 57:2, as I said a minute ago, he was being pursued by enemies, and so he cries out to God Most High. I cry out to God Most High, he says, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. Let me tell you right now that there is a purpose that God has set before you in this new year, an extraordinary purpose, a marvelous purpose, a purpose that is beyond even your own expectation. And that purpose will not only be a fulfillment in you, but it will be something that God will use to impact the lives of others. Because it's never just about you and I. It's always about others as well, always. Wherever you find yourself comes by the process of events that God has ordained. And every past moment of your life has led you to now and to what is to come in this new year. Crying out to God simply means you're praying. You're letting God know what you're concerned about, what you need, what's happening in your life, what it is you want accomplished, your fears, whatever it is. You're talking to him. Because as you do that, as you take partnership with God and as you pray, that's when you begin to see his purposes fulfilled in your life. Because you and I do have an active part through prayer and obedience. The attitudes and the choices that you and I make in the face of pain, in the face of grief, in the face of trials, when you're confronted with challenges, whatever it may be, your attitude and your choices determines everything of where you go with God, your future, and what happens to others around you. Some of you know this. I've lost three sisters, all three of my sisters younger, in the last 2 years. Another one 9 months ago, and another one last month, my youngest sister last month. On November 8th, the Woolsey fires begin. My brother and his wife, sister-in-law, who lived in Westlake Village, evacuated with their huge Weimaraners, came over into our house. We spent the day watching the news, and as we're watching the news of what's taking place in the Woolsey fires, all of a sudden, there's this news flash that comes on that Paradise is being evacuated and that many didn't make it out alive. And I was distraught because that's where I just recently came from, and that's where I pastored for 10 years. And the church that I pastored burned down, along with 20 other ones. And every single one of the people who were a part of my church lost their homes. And some of their neighbors who I met lost their lives, and many others didn't make it out. And I was overwhelmed with grief, all my memories, all my friends. I didn't know what to do. I wanted to go help, but I knew I couldn't get in. Everybody was being evacuated. Paradise doesn't even exist anymore. The same time I'm watching what's going on with Paradise, I get a phone call that my youngest sister isn't going to make it another 2 days. I couldn't get a flight out until the next morning. My sister was hanging on, trying to hang on until I got there. My plane was delayed an hour. My sister passed away an hour before I got there. And I was overwhelmed with grief. I didn't even know what to do with it all. On top of that, I was asked to officiate her funeral service. So I thought, Lord, I want to set my grief aside. All of the stuff that's going on, I really, really want you to use me to make any kind of a difference. Let me have some kind of a purpose here in South Dakota while I'm here, which is where my youngest sister lived. So I officiated the funeral service there, who was a part of it as well. And he got up there and read the typical scriptures, Psalm 23, the Lord prepares a place for us in heaven, all those beautiful, important scriptures. Scriptures that most people hear all the time when they face or attend funerals. But as I sat there in the front row with my family, my brothers, others, and there were a lot of people there, I asked the Lord, speak to me, Lord, speak through me. Use me to make a difference in this place for my sister's funeral. So I got up there and I wanted to use scriptures and implement them at a very deep and personal level. And there were many that I said, but I started off with saying one in Ecclesiastes. The Lord says, you're better off attending funerals than spending your life feasting at parties. And I told him, that's not meant to be morbid. God wants us to have a happy life, a good life. He promises that. However, if we spend our lives doing nothing but pardoning and never give consideration what happens to us when we pass from this earth, that's a concern. And if attending a funeral gives you thought about what happens to your life, that's far more important. And I began to speak intimately about God's love at a very personal level. And I had no idea if my words meant anything. But once the funeral was over, I was just amazed at the hundreds of people who said, "We've never heard anybody speak like that before, ever. I cried," or, "You really gave me something to think about," or, "I never understood scripture like that." That's not a pat on my back. Truly, that's not my heart. That was a prayer, a cry to God, "Lord, use me to fulfill a purpose. I don't want to focus on my grief. I'll deal with that later. But use me to make a difference." And I was amazed at how many people responded to that and had never understood scripture in that way before. Crying out to God in prayer and remaining steadfast in your walk with God determines how God can purpose your life. And I'll tell you, loved one, I learned a long time ago that when I'm afraid, or especially if I'm in pain for some reason, I've learned to focus on others, because somebody else is in pain too. And God can use you to encourage others when they're hurting, because you have the strength of God in your life that that person may not have, to make a difference. So take those moments. Not that you shouldn't process grief or anything else you're going through, you should. But don't wallow in it. Ask God to use you. You will be amazed at the things that He will do. And it's an incredible witness to people who are watching you work through something difficult in a way that they never knew how, and they want what you have. The third thing that God promises you in 2019, always really, but I'm speaking for the new year, is His peace. Not just any peace, but unfathomable peace, immeasurable peace, incomprehensible peace, peace beyond our human understanding. This is one of my key verses that I've carried my whole 40-some years that I've walked with the Lord. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." Now here comes the condition of the promise. "If you do that, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Do you know how much energy it takes to worry? I wish I didn't have to witness to how much energy I've spent on worrying. And if that isn't bad enough, Jesus says, "What good is that doing you? It isn't going to change a single thing anyway." And if that wasn't enough, you'd like to think that if you're worrying, it would change something, but it doesn't. And typically when we worry, whatever we're worrying about never comes to pass anyhow, and we've just aged 30 years, accumulated probably 1,000 more gray hairs. Our skin begins to droop. Our bodies look like heck because worry becomes stress, which becomes poison to our bodies. It's a mess. So God says, don't expend your energy on worrying. Expend the energy on praying. Worrying changes nothing. Praying changes everything. The peace that guards your heart, this is the picture I get. It's like a hurricane that's going on around you where everything is chaotic. But the peace that guards your heart is the eye of the storm, where there is this calm that cannot be touched no matter what chaotic situation is going on around you. It's peaceful. Do you know something else? This kind of peace, all the money in the world cannot buy it, or the richest people would. And yet, it's offered to you freely. It's a gift. God says all you have to do is don't worry. Just pray. Because if you pray, something's going to happen. It's going to happen in you.
I mean, who doesn't want that kind of peace? Who wants to go through life worrying? Who wants to? This is a phenomenal promise, a richness that's unfathomable to me, that can't be bought. And yet God freely gives it to you and I. And listen to this one. I love this one, because I hear people say all the time, I don't think my prayers matter. I don't think God hears my prayer. And even if I do, I don't think much happens. James 5:16. The earnest prayer of A, not many, even though that can be true and is true, but here it's A, one righteous person. Righteous does not mean perfect. It means someone who loves God and has made a choice to live for Him the best that they know how, to live rightly. The earnest prayer of a person who wants to live right has great power and produces wonderful results. You can do that all by yourself. You want to change a circumstance? You pray. You want to change things in your life? You pray. You want to see somebody come to know the Lord that doesn't? You pray. You want to see your relationships get better? You pray. It doesn't matter what it is. Prayer changes everything. Worry changes nothing except makes you sick and gray hairs. I know. I got a few from worry. Fourth thing that God promises you and I in this new year is His protection. That doesn't mean that we're protected from difficulties or accidents, is that a word? Accidences? Accidents. You knew that. Physical maladies, a loss of a loved one. This is a part of life. I think about Paul. He experienced beatings and shipwrecks, but his life was spared. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, something I almost preached on this morning, but decided on this. Didn't get spared the furnace that was fired up 7 times hotter. They got thrown in it. They weren't spared that, but their life was. And if that wasn't enough, they saw God there in the fire with them. And their bondages were burned off. When you guys and when I go through trials, when we trust God, those types of bondages are burned away in your life. You're a changed person. I mean, Joseph wasn't spared 13 years in the dungeon for rape that he never committed. And yet, there's a purpose that God had for Joseph that was fulfilled. He became one of the highest leaders in the land of Egypt, and it impacted the whole known world at that time who was facing a famine. We're not spared hard times, but our life is spared. We change in the midst of it. Jesus says in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We have God's protection. This is not in your notes. It's going to be on the overhead because I love this psalm. It's 121. It's only 8 verses. I want to read it to you. I've had sermons on this before in the past, but I just want to read this to you this morning. And as I read it, there's going to be a word that I want you to shout out every time I come to it with emphasis. Because if I only hear one or two of you, I'm going to come down and shake each one of you out of your seats. And we'll be here till 11:30. David says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let
you
stumble. The one who watches over
you
will not sleep. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over
you.
The Lord stands beside
you
as your protective shade. The sun will not harm
you
by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps
you
from all harm and watches over
your
life. The Lord keeps watch over as
you
come and go, both now and forever. 9 times in 8 verses, God says, you are being watched over by me. Every moment of your life, Every minute that you come and go, even as you sleep, I'm watching over you. 9 times he gives a personal you that he's protecting your life. That psalm is worth reading every time you get afraid, every time you feel you need protection, every time you think God has left you, every time the enemy tries to make you believe the lie that he has abandoned you. You read Psalm 121. The Lord is not just watching out and protecting you from physical challenges, but also those things that come against your very soul, because that's a far greater value, because that is the part of you that's eternal. And the last P I want to give you this morning for the year of 2019 that God promises, he promises his provision. Genesis 22:14, God is introduced as Jehovah Jireh when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his one and only son. And just before the sacrifice is made, God makes provision of a lamb to be sacrificed instead. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Another translation literally means God will see to it for you. He will see to it. Whatever need it is that you have, not necessarily want, whatever need, God says, I will see to it. I will provide that for you. In Matthew 16:31, Jesus says, don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, or what you will wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows that you have these needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. There's your condition again. And live rightly, and he will give you everything that you need. That's your physical need. But there's the condition before you get the promise to seek God first and live right. Remember, every promise has a condition. Those blessings that God gives, those rich promises and assurances don't come if we live like hell and could care less. They come to those who love God and live rightly before him the best that they know how. The spiritual provision comes in John 3:16. It's one of the major scriptures. There are others. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life, an unfathomable gift to me. I can't even comprehend such a gift where 10,000 upon 10,000 upon 10,000 years is but a scratch in time, if time even existed and it doesn't, and we go on and are with God for all ages to come. What a phenomenal, unbelievable gift. God provides everything you need physically, and he provides the needs for your own soul. He provided Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who paid the price for our sins so we can have that rich relationship with God once again. Our sins forgiven and the unfathomable gift of eternal life. In closing, as we enter this new year, I just want us to remember, and I hope that you'll consider this when you leave here, that you remember God goes ahead of you personally. He is with you. There is a purpose he wants to accomplish in you and through you. Seek the Lord as to what that might be. Don't miss an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others. The Lord wants you to stop worrying and experience his unfathomable peace. If you're worrying, you're expending this energy that will accomplish nothing. Every time you catch yourself doing that, you say, I'm not going down that road this time. I'm going to take a few moments and I'm going to pray instead, because that is the most powerful force in the world that will change you, change your circumstances, and maybe change others as well. He's going to protect you in the midst of whatever challenges you may face and trials that you endure. But when that happens, loved one, you're going to come out the other side a different person, more spiritually mature, richer and deeper in your relationship with God, more in love with him, experiencing his miracles you would never have known had you made the decision to step back and not go forward. God will make every provision for you, and He will personally see to every need you have. For anything God has called you to accomplish, He's going to make sure that you don't fail, and He isn't going to abandon you in the process. My only question for you, as I put the same question to myself this new year, is where you stand with Jesus Christ, that you may experience these priceless promises. Pastor.
Amen. Church, can we bow our heads in a posture of just receiving from the Lord and responding to Him, the word that's been spoken this morning. Father, we thank You for Your word that went forth this morning. Lord, as we were instructed in the things of the word, Lord, we thank You that You speak to each one of us. Lord, as we enter into a new year, a new beginning for us, it's just a date on the calendar, but God, it's a fresh reminder that You have promises available to us. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, and child in this room today that You would help us to grab hold of Your promises. Lord, help us to not only grab hold of Your promises, but help us to obey what You've called us to do. Lord, there's many among us today that this word hit home. Some that are in need of Your presence this morning. And Father, we just pray that You would remind us that You never leave us. You never forsake us. No matter how dark our world might feel, no matter how alone we might feel, God, Your presence is with us. God, You are Emmanuel, God with us. This morning we open to You. We say, Lord, may we experience Your presence today. Lord, for others of us, it was the call and the promise of Your purpose for our lives. Today, I pray that You would reignite in each one of us today a battle cry for purpose. Lord, that we would reawaken to the identity that You have created us for, the purpose that You've made us to accomplish. Lord, Your word declares that You've created us anew in Christ Jesus for good works that You've prepared beforehand. Lord, I pray this morning, as we stand on the precipice of a new year, that we would awaken to purpose, that we would uncover and open up and walk in the purpose that You've made us for. Lord, fill us with a passion for purpose. And Lord, for any among us that are lacking in peace, where worry has taken over, Father, where we've spent our energy and our efforts and our time worrying, and it doesn't change a thing except for make us older. Lord, I pray that You'd give us Your peace as we come to You, Father. Lord, we thank You for that word. We thank You for this promise that we should not worry about anything, but by all things through prayer and supplication, make our requests known to You. Father, we love You. You are a good, good Father. And so right now, Lord, we ask for Your peace. Lord, if there's areas where we feel like we're all alone and we need Your protection, I pray that You'd remind us that You are our strong fortress, that You are the tower we can run to when we feel threatened, when we feel hurt, when we are going through fires. And Lord, we thank You that though You don't always deliver us from the fire, You always go with us through the fire, and You meet us in that place, and You deliver us from bondages as we stand in the fiery furnaces of life. You protect us though we walk through hard seasons. And finally, Lord, we pray for Your provision. Lord, I pray that over any man, woman, or child in this room today, you say, I need the provision of God. Lord, we ask You, we look to You. We declare that we don't want to be a people who worry about the things of the world, but we want to first fix our eyes on You. Seek first Your kingdom. And Your word declares that You'll add all those things unto us as we trust in You. So if you're in need of a touch from God this morning, can you do something with me? Can we just hold out our hands in a posture of receiving from the Lord? I want to just have this posture as we pray. Father, we thank You for Your word today, Lord, of these peace, of Your presence, of Your purpose, of Your peace, Your protection, and Your provision. And this morning, Lord God, whatever measure we're in need of grace today, we say, Lord Jesus, would You fill us up? Fill us up, Lord God. Lord, where we came empty, would You fill us up with Your peace? Would You fill us up with Your purpose? Would You fill us up with Your presence? Lord God, would You fill us up with Your protection and the memory and the knowledge that You protect us? And God, would You provide for our needs as we have needs, as we trust You, Lord God, with all things? Lord, as we have need, we come with open hands and we say, Lord, You're the one who can give to us. for you so loved us that you gave. So Lord, this morning we look to you. We don't look to our problems. We don't look to our fires. We don't look to our struggles or our doubts or our fears or our worries or any of the rest of those things. But Lord, we look to you. We lift our eyes up to the heavens where our help comes from. And we trust in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you provide all our needs. Would you make your face to shine upon us today? And finally, with every head bowed and eyes still closed, maybe you're in the house today, and as we talk about the peace of God, as we talk about the love of God, perhaps you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never received the free gift of Jesus Christ. If that's you today, with every head bowed and eye closed, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond, because I believe the Lord wants to draw you home to himself. And some of you maybe here need to take that very first step of faith to receive God's gift of forgiveness and grace. Jesus said it clearly, if you'll acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But he said, if you don't, I won't. So there's something important about agreeing with someone here about it. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do just that. I won't call you down front or do anything like that. But if that's you, would you say, I want to say yes to Jesus this morning, and you've not been walking in a relationship with you, I want to pray with you. With every head bowed and eye closed, if that's you, would you be bold enough to lift up your hand and let our eyes meet right now, wherever you are? Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else in the house today? Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone else? You say, that's me. I want to respond to the Lord Jesus today. Thank you. I see you. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the very first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and heart to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you always. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning? There's something to celebrate.